Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers, all of you grandfathers. Happy Father's Day to all of you single mothers and same-sex women couples who are both mom and dad for your children every day. And let's not forget all of you who might not have children, yet you still are fatherly to so many in so many ways. I'm honored to have my own father here this morning, Mike. Dad, I know you worked hard on raising me the right way. You nailed it. Good job. I'm also honored and so lucky to be the father of my two amazing children, Natalie, my six-year-old daughter, who's beautiful, silly, compassionate, incredibly smart, and to Kalen, my four-year-old, who is adventurous, funny, daring, and who we've labeled the little negotiator. Just this morning, he tried to negotiate that in exchange for an ice cream cone later, he would consider wearing pants today. Let's just say he's presentable for mass, and I'll be buying ice cream later. And of course, I have to thank my beautiful wife, Siobhan, who is the most supportive partner I could ask for, makes me want to be a better dad every day, and has given me the greatest joys in my life, our children. I can't place a bookmark in time where it exactly happened, but I knew from a young age that I always wanted to be a father. Maybe it was because I had many great dads around me in my life, and I wanted to be just like them, or maybe it was burning inside of me from the time I was born. I happen to think it was both. I am positive, though, about where to place the bookmark in time when my wife and I decided that we were ready to become a family and welcome children into our lives. We decided that we could start trying to start a family, and hearing that it often takes months or years to conceive, we felt that those months or years of trying would give us the time we needed to prepare for this new chapter in our lives. 3 days, people. That's how long it took. Now, there are millions of books on parenting and being a new dad, and I didn't read any of them. I had the blessing of having some great men and women in my life who modeled for me what it means to be a great father. And let me also mention this. Today is all about the dads, but I wouldn't be half the father or man that I am today without the strong women in my life. My mother, Paula, my wife, Siobhan, Reverend Mary, and Reverend Myra, you have all pushed me to do the best that I can do and support me in ways that amaze me. I learned so much from my own father, who is one of the most honest and hardworking men I know. From my father, I learned that you have to work hard to provide for your family. I learned that if you wanted something, you had to put the work in and get dirty instead of just wait around for it. I learned from my father that if you didn't think something was right and justice was being compromised, you had to fight for what was right. At the end of my dad's eighth grade year in Catholic school, his teacher, a nun, got upset with him on the last day of school because he was goofing off in class. She reprimanded him, but then took it further when she called in my grandparents and told them my father couldn't pass the eighth grade unless he wrote a 10-page paper about the patron saint of the Alps, Saint Bernard. Seeing that the punishment didn't fit the crime, in protest, my father wrote that 10-page paper. But he needed to make a statement. So instead of writing about some Catholic Saint Bernard, in satire, he wrote 10 pages about the dog breed Saint Bernards. Page by page, he went into detail talking about their coat, their diet, the history. It didn't go well, did it, Dad? My father was also not afraid to let us know that he made mistakes along the way. Even though he expected us to do our best, he didn't get down on us when we made mistakes. And when we did make mistakes, the lesson was clear. Be honest and confess right away. And it was hard not to confess right away when your father was the head of security and internal investigations for the Xerox Corporation. There was one time, though, that my dad didn't confess right away, and the story gave us all quite a laugh. In the late 1950s, when my father was 15, he and his friend borrowed his friend's parents' truck while the parents were out to dinner for the evening. They decided on the coldest January day it would be a good idea to drive the truck down Empire Boulevard and take it out over the ice. While driving, they saw a big patch of black, which they knew was water, so they opened the doors and bailed. The truck sank to the bottom of the bay, and they walked all the way back up Empire to Gravel Road, got back to their sleepover, and fell asleep. When the parents returned, the two boys were woken up, and they led these parents to believe that the truck was stolen while they were sleeping. My dad finally came clean and told his mother during a board game we were playing after Thanksgiving dinner in 2011. That's right. It took him 52 years to come clean. My grandmother was 88 years old. Dad, when you're 88, I have a lot to tell you. The lessons that I learned along the way that I saw from the men in my life helped mold the man I would become. When I was about 10 years old, I remember being at a bank with my mother. And while in line, a man in the bank started yelling and cursing. He caused a huge scene and had a lot to say to a lot of people in the bank. When we got in the car to drive away, I remember my mother took the time to talk to me about what I had heard. She was saying that even though the man was yelling at the bank teller about being a dumb woman who couldn't count or do math, it was entirely false. Women were not less than men in any way. Even though the man was throwing around racial slurs, she made sure to tell me that no one person or race was any more or less than any other person or race. I was so confused. I didn't even know the things the man was yelling. And I remember being so confused at what my mother was telling me. When I look back at my 10-year-old self, I know exactly why I never heard the stuff he was yelling. Because the men around me in my life, my father, my grandfathers, all of my uncles and older brothers, I never once, not one time, heard any of them say anything that would dishonor or degrade women. And I never heard any of them say anything to put anyone down for being different in any way. I cannot thank these men enough in my life for showing me what it means to live with a good heart, to have a fair and just voice. Because kids listen and they repeat what they hear, whether they understand it or not. In the comic series Spider-Man, as young Peter Parker was becoming Spider-Man, he starts to get stronger and stronger, and he is amazed to have this new power. His uncle, giving some wise advice, tells him that with great power comes great responsibility, a responsibility to do the right thing with that power. We as fathers, as parents, have such a great responsibility to model what it looks like to be fair, to be just, non-judgmental, and loving. We can teach our children these things simply by living the way that Jesus calls us to live. In 2010, my maternal grandmother passed away, and in order to prepare for her service and celebration, We were going to make posters with photos on them. So boxes and boxes of photos came up from my parents' basement. While going through them, I picked up a rather odd photo from the pile, which was a black and white picture of an old concrete step in front of an empty doorway. Intrigued a bit, I asked my mother what it was, and I expected her to say, "Well, I don't remember," because, to be honest, it was a pretty boring photo. But she told me a story that moved me. My grandfather, finding it hard to find work, opened his own auto body shop in the garage of their home. Because the garage was right behind the house, my mother, about 6 years old at the time, would often wander into the shop to talk to her father, sometimes to just say hello, sometimes to steal a kiss, or sometimes to show him a new boo-boo she got. It was dangerous, though, to have a six-year-old wandering around a body shop with tools all over the place and heavy machinery. But instead of my grandfather telling her to get lost or stay away, he walked her outside and sat her on that concrete step. He told her that whenever he was working, wherever he was in the garage, he could see that doorway, which the door was always open, and he could always see that step. He said anytime she wanted a kiss, anytime she felt sad and wanted to talk, or anytime she just wanted to say hi, that she could come sit on that step. As soon as she did, he would see her and come sit right beside her. As soon as my mother told me that story, I knew that was the kind of father I wanted to be, to always be available to my children, to never be too busy for a kiss, to never think that what I was doing was so serious that I couldn't be present to my children. The story about that beat-up concrete step showed me that men, although stereotypically should be strong and masculine, could be gentle and tender. It was when my son was born that I had many moments of silent laughter, because there were so many men who, upon just finding out my newborn was a boy, said, "Wow, you were happy when your daughter was born, but I bet you're really happy now you have a son." Or they say, "Oh, you had a son? Gonna put him out for football, right?" And I would sarcastically reply, "I mean, he's only six, so not quite yet. 6 days old, I'm gonna wait a little bit." Men, we don't have to play along with the hyper-masculine stereotype. As fathers, we have a chance to change that narrative in our lives and be the fathers our children need. When I think of my best moments of being a father so far, being a tender, gentle man is not only at the top of the list for me, but I think it's also at the top of what my children need. I often think of Jesus telling his disciples that God is a loving, tender father. He told them that God knows and cares about you so much that every ounce of you is accounted for. Each hair on your head has been counted and is numbered by God, because that is how much God loves you. I know what Jesus means by that. I know that because of all the nights I rocked my own children to sleep. I am positive I kissed each and every hair on the top of their head. I know every wrinkle on their tiny hands. And contrary to that strong, unwavering stereotype, fathers can be vulnerable and hurt and need support. We don't always have to be the strong one that has it all together. It's okay to be broken sometimes. I got to share that experience with my father of being vulnerable, and because of that opportunity, we were presented with time to heal together as broken men. Many of you know, last July, I lost my mother, and shortly after, 4.5 months actually, my father lost his mother, my grandmother. I never imagined that one day, as a son, I would walk up to my own father on my grandmother's funeral and say to him, "Hey, I know what it feels like to lose a mother, so let's do this together." We didn't have to be tough men who didn't cry. We didn't have to pretend our emotions weren't running wild. We didn't have to align with some stereotype that we can't be broken. We just had to be loving and present to each other. Famous author A.A. Milne, creator of the lovable Winnie the Pooh and Friends characters, had a strong desire to always be around for his son, Christopher Robin. To do this, they took many day trips together. Many of them, and one of their favorite places, was the London Zoo. And it was during those trips to the zoo that his young son, Christopher, with his little teddy bear in his hand, fell in love with a black bear from Canada named Winnipeg, or Winnie for short. Millen was so happy to have the time with his son during those zoo visits and enjoyed so much the joy Christopher Robin got from Winnipeg that it inspired him to write those famous stories. Whenever my dad went to work, I often thought as a kid, man, I wonder what Dad is doing on his fancy computer. Or because he traveled a lot, I would often wonder what the hotel looked like, or what he was doing in San Francisco or Chicago. I know my kids think about that stuff too when I'm off at work or away from them. And it's then that the words of that lovable bear jump right off the pages of Milne's book. And right there in the 100-acre wood, alone in his den, Winnie the Pooh thought to himself, I wonder what Piglet is doing. I wish I were there doing it too. Whether your father or father figure is right next to you, miles away, or resting with the angels in heaven, it's so wonderful to take time to honor them today and to have them in our lives to say, I wonder what Dad is doing right now. I wish I were there doing it too. Happy Father's Day.